this message is given in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Back in 1970, a Presbyterian minister known as Dr. James Kennedy published something called Evangelism Explosion. This was a resource that trains people how to share the gospel of Christ with unbelievers. Now, this resource encourages people to ask questions as a way to get people to think about their need for salvation. For instance, one question that this course encouraged us to ask is this: if you were to die tonight, would you be sure that you would go to heaven? However, there's actually a problem with that question. You see, this question assumes that people actually know what heaven is. Sadly, more and more people in this country do not believe what the Bible teaches about heaven. For example, atheists do not believe there is a God, and so they do not believe there is life after death either. According to atheists, when you die, that's it. There is no heaven. This life is all that there is. And so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And then there are other people who follow Eastern religions and therefore believe in reincarnation. In other words, they believe that after you die, you come back as another life form. And what you come back as depends on how you lived in this life. Still other people think that heaven is merely a state of mind, kind of like a dream. Such people believe that your body turns to dust, never to rise again, but your mind somehow continues to live on in some eternal limbo somewhere. So now you can understand why the question, if you were to die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven, is not really a good question to ask until you know what the person actually believes about heaven. However, in the Midwest of America, in communities like Jamestown, most people have a basic Christian understanding of what happens after death. I would say most people in Jamestown would believe that after death, you either end up with God in heaven or with the devil in hell. But apart from this basic knowledge, I must admit that there's still a lot of confusion, even among Christians, about what Scripture teaches concerning eternal life. For example, in our second reading from Hebrews, we heard these words: man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Here we see that at the very moment of your death, you will either be with God or you will be with the devil. But sadly, many people don't really understand this. You see, many people think that we somehow remain in limbo until judgment day, and that's when we will find out where we get to spend eternity. But until that day, we live in uncertainty. I can see why people have this misunderstanding, because if you remember the creed we spoke moments ago, at the end of the second section, it talks about Christ returning to judge the living and the dead. However, what we must understand is that the judgment that will take place on the final day is based on whether or not you have eternal life here and now. In other words, the judgment that will take place on the final day is simply a public affirmation of where you stand with God right here, right now. For instance, listen to Jesus' words from John chapter 3. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. hear that? Your eternal destiny is based on whom you believe here and now. So with that understood, in this sermon today, we're going to learn from Scripture about eternal life. First, we're going to learn what eternal life is, and then I'm going to tell you how we get eternal life. So, what is eternal life? You know, many people wrongly think of eternal life as merely a future event. Here's how many people think. After you die, your spirit goes to be with God, while your body turns to dust in the ground. And then when Jesus returns, he will resurrect your body, your spirit will then enter your glorified body, and then you will live forever in God's new creation. Now, this way of thinking about eternal life is true. The only problem is that this way of thinking about eternal life is not the whole truth. You see, according to Scripture, eternal life is more than just living forever. Eternal life is about with whom you will live forever. In other words, eternal life is about a relationship. And that's why Scripture teaches that eternal life is something that we believers have right now. For example, in our gospel reading, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned." Did you hear that? If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you have eternal life right now. You see, what we need to understand is that the most important thing about eternal life is that we have a love relationship with God and we trust His Word. Eternal life means that we have a faith relationship with God here and now. Think of it, when God created Adam and Eve, they were supposed to live forever in God's love. But they lost eternal life when they stopped loving God and no longer trusted Him. Simply put, the reason we face physical death is that we are sinners who are spiritually dead. But the good news is that Jesus came to save us from spiritual death and thereby give us eternal life. Now, Jesus accomplished this for us by His birth, life, death, and resurrection. But here's the important thing. Even though Jesus accomplished our salvation by His work, we cannot receive this salvation unless Jesus gives us a new heart that is willing to embrace it. And so Jesus speaks His word to us that we might confess our sin and actually trust in Him for salvation and receive eternal life. Jesus creates new hearts in us so that we can love God and trust Him once again. In fact, if you look at it this way, eternal life means that Jesus has brought you back into an eternal love relationship with the Father. Eternal life means that you love God and you trust Him. Eternal life means that you want God to be part of your life here and now. But what about unbelievers? You see, if you don't have eternal life now, then you're already condemned. If you do not repent of your sin now, and trust in Jesus now, then you're already in hell, because hell is essentially being separated and cut off from God. And that's how unbelievers will spend eternity unless Jesus changes their hearts before they die. You see, once you die, your eternal destiny is sealed forever based on your relationship with God here and now. So with that understood, it's really quite foolish for people to want to live forever in heaven if they don't want anything to do with God here and now. I mean, think of it. If you don't love and trust God now, if you want nothing to do with God now, and if you don't want to hear God's word now, then why in the world would you want to spend eternity with Him? Those who will spend eternity in hell will experience what they already have here and now. Separation from God. But the good news, once again, is that Jesus speaks His word to us so that He will give us new hearts that long for God and hunger for His love and mercy, so that heaven will actually be something we want here and now through a faith relationship in Jesus. As we heard Jesus say in our gospel reading, "I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, when Jesus talks about the dead here, He's not talking about the physically dead at this point. He's talking about the spiritually dead. Jesus speaks His words to unbelievers who are spiritually dead in the hope that they will be given spiritual life. And when we are given spiritual life, we repent of our sin and we trust in Jesus as our Savior. And that is when you have eternal life. My friends, if you have eternal life now, if you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus now, then you can be absolutely certain of spending eternity with the God who saved you. As I've told you before, the greatest thing about eternal life is not merely that we get to live forever, because even the people in hell get to live forever. Instead, the greatest thing about eternal life is that we believers get to spend eternity with our one true love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, we've learned what eternal life is. We've learned that it's not merely some future event, but it's a present relationship with God that we have through Jesus. But now that we've learned what eternal life is, it's time to learn about how we get it. At the end of our gospel reading, Jesus says, "A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out." That's referring to the final day of judgment and the resurrection. But then He says, "Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Once again, these are some words from Scripture that are often misunderstood by people. For example, some will hear these words of Jesus and wrongly conclude that eternal life is something that you can earn based on your behavior in this life. They will even point out the fact that Jesus mentions that those who have done good will rise to live. In addition, they might even point out Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, the reading we heard at the beginning of the service. Let me share those words with you again. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, at first glance, it sounds like the how we get eternal life is all based on how we live. Paul and Jesus seem to be saying that how you get eternal life is based on whether you're good enough and have done enough good works. But that can't be true. You see, as Lutherans, we stress that we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, because that's what Scripture clearly teaches. In fact, Scripture teaches that we deserve nothing from God. We cannot earn a place in God's kingdom by doing enough good things. And yet, it seems as though both Jesus and Paul are saying that eternal life with God is based on what we do while we're living in the body. However, those who understand the words of Jesus and Paul in this way are actually taking those words out of context. So allow me to explain what Jesus and Paul are actually teaching us. First, when Jesus talks about those who have done good versus those who have done evil, he is actually talking about the life of faith versus the life of unbelief. In other words, Jesus is not teaching that we will get to heaven because we're more worthy than other people. No. Instead, those who have done good are those who acknowledge their sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. Whereas those who have done evil are those who deny their sin or excuse it and refuse to trust in Jesus alone for salvation. In addition, when Jesus talks about those who have done good, he also means that any good works that we believers do are merely the result of having already been given eternal life. In other words, we don't do good works to earn salvation because we can't. Instead, we do good works because we've already been given salvation freely because of the work of Christ. And so the good works that we believers do are simply the result of the forgiveness and love that God has freely given us. The good works we do are an offering of praise and thanks to God for the eternal life he has given us in Jesus. For example, in John chapter 15, Jesus says, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know what that means? Even the outward good works that are done by unbelievers are nothing before God, because our good works mean nothing unless they're covered by the blood of Jesus. According to this scripture, the same Jesus who saves us also does good works through us. And the good works that Jesus does through you will be the evidence of your salvation on the final day. The salvation that you already have here and now through faith in Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul teaches this very thing in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to what he writes. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so when we Christians fight against sin, when we strive to live in a way that honors God, we do that simply as an offering of praise and thanksgiving for the forgiveness and love that we've been freely given in Jesus Christ. The God who saved you by grace and gave you faith also produces good works in your life. And those good works will be the evidence of your salvation on the day of judgment. The salvation that you have right now through faith in Jesus. And so that's the answer to the question, how do we get eternal life? You see, we do nothing to get it. We can't. The good news is that Jesus gives you eternal life. As Jesus said in our gospel reading, "The Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." And my friends, Jesus is pleased to give you eternal life. In fact, Jesus gave you eternal life in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus continues to give you eternal life through his word that you hear and read and think about. Jesus also gives you eternal life when you eat and drink his body and blood in Holy Communion. I want you to leave today knowing that eternal life is not something you will get someday in the distant future. Because of Jesus, you have eternal life right now. In other words, you have been reconciled with God. You are His dearly loved child. And when you say the creed and you mention those words about Jesus returning to judge the living and the dead, you don't have to fear those words as though you're not certain how that day will turn out for you. Because if you trust in Jesus, you are forgiven and holy in God's sight here and now, and your standing before God because of your faith in Jesus now is absolutely certain in the final day. Because you trust in Jesus now, you are not condemned. And when He returns, He will joyfully welcome you into His eternal kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.